Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 112 of our year of the Bible, looking at chapters 11 through 13 of the second book of the Kings. Now, we had heard yesterday and yesterday's readings about Jehu, who drives like, Jehu, and his vengeance that he wreaked all over in the northern kingdom there, all of the members of the Omride dynasty, Ahab and Ahab's descendants and all that kind of stuff. So he took care of all of those in the north, and so you might think, well, the Omride dynasty must have come to an end altogether. Well, not altogether just yet, because the north and the south weren't completely isolated from each other. We've seen over the chapters how they have various interactions of one kind or another. And when we open chapter 11, we hear about Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah. Athaliah, the important part about her is that she is the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, Captain Ahab. So when she hears about everything going on, she again sees which way the wind is blowing, and hurries to wipe out the rest of the royal family in the south. That is, they're in Judah. Joash, son of Ahaziah, and I guess her grandson, is spirited away. And take him, his nurse, his nanny, if you will, spirits him away and keeps him safe at the temple for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. So Athaliah, she's mean. She's like Bloody Mary. And so there for a while, that's where he kind of grows up for 6 years. In the seventh year, we are told about a priest named Jehoiada. Not all the priests in the Book of Good, but some are. And Jehoiada is one that does good stuff. And basically what he does is he gets the people's sentiment to be back towards the royal family, the actual, lineage. And so they anoint, and so he gets all the soldiers and everything, and he anoints anoints the son, Joash, anoints the son to be the king. Again, anointing very, very important, and it is happening to Joash. Athaliah calls out treason, treason, when she sees it. So if this sounds to you something like some of the situations we've heard about before, that's for good reason. And if you look at the what comes right before it in chapter 10 and the death of Jezebel and all that kind of stuff, it follows it almost exactly. So clearly, the sort of death of Jezebel, the anointing of Jehu, and all that kind of stuff, is very much a parallel with what's happening there in the south. So with Athaliah dead, there's now an opportunity to sort of renew things there in the south. The fact that it was a priest that has sort of undertaken this is a good sign. It's a good thing. And so Jehoiada makes this sort of like complicated three-part covenant between the Lord and the king and the people. And so that's pretty good. Once they had done that, once they tore down the temple of Baal, so they've covenanted with God, they've torn down the temple of Baal, they go and they take Joash into the palace. And he was 7 years old when he began to reign. So far, so good, right? And it gets better because Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he did leave the high places there. People have a hard time with that. But Joash starts doing a sort of renewal of the temple, starts fundraising, we might say, for repairs to the temple. Well, that's a good sign. It's better than other stuff he could do. The folks that are going around getting all their horses from Egypt and stuff like that, or all of that. That's repairing the temple, but it doesn't go very well. There's some kind of problem. Like, all these years have gone by, and it still doesn't work. And so they have to account differently. This is where you get a sense of sort of the other priest might not be entirely on the up and up and up, up and up here, which is shocking, I know, but nonetheless is apparently a possibility that the Bible wants us to be aware of. Joash's dedication to the temple is leavened, is sort of mitigated a little bit, sort of made a little bit more ambivalent at the end of chapter 12, with the attack by Hazael, also known as the cat in the Smurfs. Am I right about that? Is it the cat or the bad guy in the Smurfs? Hazael. Yeah, well, Hazael gets his name from this guy, King of Aram, and is about to attack Jerusalem. And what Joash does is he takes all the sacred objects that are there, all the gold and everything, and he gives them to Hazael, King of Aram, in order to buy him off. So what did he not do, right? What Joash did not do, according to this, is go ask the Lord for direction. Right. Didn't go ask what he should do. Didn't go speak to one of the prophets or something like that. But just took the things out. And what you see is a sort of separation of the temple from Yahweh himself, that the temple itself becomes kind of. Well, I think what we're going to see, the temple itself becomes a kind of idol, in the same way that the Ark of the Covenant had sort of become an idol earlier on. Remember when they took it into battle and they thought that the Ark would save them. You see a funny thing here, and that's something that you're starting to see now. The temple is headed for destruction. You know that. I know that. They don't necessarily know that yet. But when they see it, the fact that there's been this sort of separation, the fact that they've sort of taken the temple as having this significance beyond the fact that, you know, God has graced it with his presence, is part of what's going to make it so devastating when the temple does fall. The other thing that Joash is that's kind of funky about Joash is at the end he dies by assassination from his own officials. So whatever happened with all the money and all the everything, it apparently wasn't handled very well. I think there's more stuff about it in the Book of Chronicles that we hear. But just in case we thought Joash might be some new David or new Solomon-like figure, it is not to be. So we have more kings and of both Judah and of Israel. I'm going to leave that out, except to mention the thing at the about halfway through 13. Elisha comes back. Now, we haven't heard from Elisha in many, many chapters. Elisha's kind of off the scene. And in verse 14, we hear that he had died. And this is kind of lovely. Jehoash, king of Israel, went to go see him and said, and he wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. What's that a quote of? He's quoting Elisha himself. And that's what Elisha said about Elijah when he died, was carried up. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. To have Jehoash, the king of Israel, refer to this great prophet as father actually says something good about the king of Israel. Not that he's perfect, but there's at least that recognition there. And the very last thing I want to say was
Verse 21, I mentioned this earlier, a body gets thrown into the same tomb where Elisha's body is. And when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Elisha, we had talked about as sort of being a type of Jesus, sort of foreshadowing of Jesus. And the life-givingness of Elisha sort of continues here in his death. However, like all of the foreshadowings of Jesus, they're not Jesus himself, because Elisha, unfortunately, stays dead, right? Elisha stays dead. He's not going to be able to take care of Israel forever. He's not going to be the one that's going to be able to lead Israel into the promised land, if you will. He's not going to be able to lead them back to where they need to be. On the contrary, the land of Israel, those northern tribes, have bad stuff that's going to happen to them very soon. Now, in the next couple chapters, there's a lot of just back and forth about the different kings. One comes, one goes. And that kind of thing, but we're on a downward slope, if you will, towards the destruction of the northern kingdom. So that's what we have to look forward to. And these sort of ambiguous figures, as well as the just straight out bad figures, are sort of indications that that's the direction that Israel is going to go in. So I'm going to leave it there for today. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Go Lions.
Lions? Why the Lions?
Lions are Lions.
Good Lions. All right.